Welcome to Packet Pushers Heavy Networking, where we get all serious about data networking and deep dive into the guts of technology and all of the things that go on around it. Now, DNS is a truly ubiquitous technology, and most network users don't really know that it exists. But it needs to keep changing to embrace new technology. We've had extensions for DNS was part of the new features that were defined in 1999, back in RFC 2671, and extensions for DNS have been revised several times over the years. And in all of the extensions that we've had so far, backward compatibility has been a key design issue. And this means that legacy DNS servers, even though they don't support the new extensions, have sort of been catered for. But we've kind of reached a point where no amount of wishing will change the fact that these people who haven't upgraded their DNS infrastructure to meet RFC compliance are now holding us back. That is, DNS needs to move forward with new features, and there are a whole bunch of things going on, but there is a very small number of domains hosted on infrastructure that is not eDNS compatible. That has led us to DNS Flag Day. Now, today I'm joined by Kathy Armand from the Internet Systems Consortium, and she's going to talk with me a little bit about DNS Flag Day. I'm going to try and drill into where the problem's likely to occur, what the users will see, how you can get some fixes, and sort of dive into the whole issue. So, Kathy, welcome to the Packet Pushers podcast.
Hello.
It's wonderful to talk to you. Now, I saw your presentation recently at the UK NOF conference where you talked about DNS Flag Day. And I wrote a bit of an article over on my blog at ethereummind.com that sort of dives into this. But I guess the first place to start is, what is DNS Flag Day? What's the idea here?
The point is, there needs to be a moment in time where everybody gets together and decides that enough is enough. The problem with those who are running servers and services that are not compliant with the new protocols is that they are slowing things down and preventing the DNS from moving on. So, for example, it's not just that they won't support the new functionality and new features, and it's not just that the resolvers are accommodating them. The resolvers that are accommodating them are running less efficiently as well, so they are slowing things down for everyone else, as well as providing a degraded user experience for people who have their zones hosted using these non-compliant servers.
Okay, so there's two parts to this then. There's the, I've got an old DNS implementation, and when I make a query to it, it doesn't respond correctly.
Yes.
Right, so that's the eDNS problem, where modern DNS servers make queries on legacy DNS servers, and if they don't respond with an eDNS response, I'm a little bit vague here, but they don't respond with an eDNS response saying, I don't understand eDNS, they just time out or something?
The timeouts are the problem. Most resolvers have over the years been more tolerant, but it involves having to retry. If you don't get a response, there is a pause while the server waits for a response and then thinks, okay, so that server didn't understand or maybe was temporarily unavailable. I don't know. So I'm going to retry. And that is slowing down the response for the consumer, but it's also additional code that has to be built into the resolver to do that and then to fall back to trying something else if the server didn't respond. It's the trying something else that is the problem.
Yeah, I got the idea that sometimes when you make a lookup from a modern, you make a lookup to a domain that's hosted on a legacy, and this is, we're talking about the root server for that domain or the home server for that domain, right? If it doesn't respond correctly, then the resolvers in the middle either assume it could be they don't see a response because the DNS server doesn't send back a compatible response. And so the resolvers up until now have made queries on the DNS server saying, well, maybe it's a legacy. So if the timeout comes, I'll then make a legacy query to that server. But of course, the server could be down.
The server could be down and there are retries built in. What's going to happen with DNS Flag Day as resolvers are upgraded to newer software that doesn't tolerate lack of compliance, instead of just timing out and retrying again on the assumption that maybe the server was temporarily unavailable, the packets got lost, because after all, this is mostly UDP and UDP is not guaranteed end-to-end. So instead of doing that, they used to go back and say, okay, well, maybe the server doesn't understand this, so I will try this other type of communication. That's the thing that is being taken away, that the fallback to trying without eDNS if we don't hear anything back.
Okay, so if I'm hosting my domain name on my own DNS server that's not modernized. And when I say modernized, what am I talking about here? 3 years, 5 years, 10 years?
We're talking 10 years plus.
And that's an issue? Like, there are genuinely DNS servers out there that haven't been updated in that period of time?
There are genuinely servers or firewalls or load balancers sitting in front of them that don't understand or haven't been updated or reconfigured to comprehend modern DNS protocol.
So less likely to be DNS server software, more likely to be middle boxes. Does that mean then that firewalls would just say, I'm only going to allow basic DNS queries through? Even though the DNS software behind the firewall might be modernized, the firewall itself might have an application monitoring thing and doesn't pass the DNS through cleanly or correctly.
That's definitely the case. There are some firewalls out there that still have filtering that doesn't understand. It looks into the DNS packet protocol and doesn't understand the new functions in it.
Right. So even though your DNS server might be up to date, your firewall might not, or your load balancer, if you're using a load balancer to front a pool of DNS servers.
Yes, although most of them these days have been updated and recognize the modern protocols, there are still some out there that need upgrades or need configuration changes. Most of the firewall and load balancer vendors have put out their own statements saying what it is that you need to run or what it is that you need to change in your configuration. So if you're having problems, then the place to go would be to look at the vendor's site and see what it is that they say.
Okay. Have you got a sense of how many domain names are at risk? I would imagine you've done some testing here to sort of get a sense of how many servers are out there that aren't compliant.
It's a rapidly decreasing number, funnily enough. probably between about 1 in 10,000 to 1 in 100,000, maybe. Mm-hmm. And bear in mind as well that it isn't just a whole zone disappearing. A lot of people have got their zones hosted on a bunch of different platforms, and they have done the sensible thing and they have spread it around different service providers. So it may be that some of their servers are broken and others are not.
So maybe your root domain's okay, but your subdomains might fail because they're resolved off different DNS servers.
Your slave domains or secondary domains.
Secondary servers, secondary DNSs.
Yes, yes.
So A, eDNS has got problems where legacy servers aren't responding, and that causes timeouts to the issue. But there's also the point here where the DNS protocol needs to add new features, and keeping hold of these legacies isn't happening. Do you want to touch on what new features we're hoping to see?
And most of the new features are related to improved security, improved performance, improved privacy. So you've got things like the ability to negotiate larger UDP packet sizes so that you don't need to fall back to TCP. That was the first thing that came in, and that's been around for a very long time. You also have DNS cookie, which is to improve security. Probably will improve performance as well.
Okay, so that's just a couple of things. I'm sure there's a bunch of others. I don't track the DNS too closely because it's not something that causes me a lot of pain, so I have to know. So I guess we can find out plenty more. I guess the second part, another part of what we need to be talking about here is, where's the problem likely to be perceived? Is it users are just going to see domain names disappear from the internet, or is it going to be more like a bit rot sort of a thing, or a link rot, where some places in some times might see outages?
It's interesting, this one. So nothing is going to change immediately on the 1st of February. The DNS software providers, as they release new versions of their software, are going to remove the functionality to do the fallback. Mm. So the software will be updated, but the usage of it is going to be when organizations, corporate organizations, ISPs and the like, actually install the software that is now no longer tolerating the authoritative servers that are non-compliant. Right. But at the same time, the resolver service providers are also updating theirs. So if you're going for example, use Google's service to resolve your DNS, they will be implementing this change in their servers gradually from Flag Day, which is today, onwards. So it's going to be perceived by consumers, people who want to go to websites where the DNS servers aren't compliant. They're going to find that either they're not going to be able to reach the websites or services, or perhaps in some cases they're going to be slower to reach them because of this. the resolvers have to time out and go to other resolvers.
So if they're resolving up to Google, they might the caching servers in the middle might start to use other servers to do the queries that haven't yet been upgraded.
It's unlikely that they will go to other servers to use the queries that haven't been upgraded, but they might fall back to using... Do you remember I said that some organizations will have a mixture of servers, some that are compliant and some that are not?
Mm.
So in that case, there may be a slight delay while the Google server, the Google resolver finds the compliant servers.
Okay, because the domain might be hosted at more than one server,
any
of the secondaries, but it'll know the secondaries and then go and query them. And if they're still not upgraded, it might still work. That's kind of confusing because it could actually be very difficult to troubleshoot that, and hence DNS.
Some of these are going to look like, oh, there is a slight network problem. I mean, you also might find, if you think about a web page is full of material and links and content that is pulled from a lot of different locations. And all of those are found out by doing DNS lookups. So you may find that half a web page loads and the other half doesn't come or arrives very, very slowly. Again, that's going to look to the user and possibly to the help desk that they've called like some kind of intermittent network problem behind the scenes.
Wow, yeah, that's true, because I've seen domains, up to 50 domains in a single page.
Absolutely.
Especially when they start calling analytics and ads and user tracking cookies and, you know, all of this corporate surveillance that we're seeing going on. Some of those domains just so maybe some of those won't work. But in your own case, maybe you've got content sharded. You might have an image server and a script server and so on and so on. And some of those might be okay and some of those might not. So that's going to be quite challenging to fix. So people really need to just basically get on with doing the checks as a proactive thing. You can't ignore it for long, I guess. I guess if you update your firewalls as well, something that was working might no longer work, because if the firewall code was upgraded and was now no longer talking the legacy DNS mode, it might actually cause you problems going forward.
Are we talking about upgrading your firewall as...
So if you have a DNS proxy and in the firewall where you're bringing in and you're firewalling the DNS to say, I want the DNS to be safe, if I update to a compliant version, it's no longer going to support the legacy lookups as well?
Are we talking here a DNS proxy as an authoritative service provider or as...
Was an intermediary, just as a firewall function. Because with DNS Flag Day, what you're saying is we'll no longer support the legacy DNS lookups. So if the firewalls start deprecating that as well, they could create...
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it's not that legacy DNS is no longer supported. It is that not responding if you do not support it is no longer supported.
Okay. So it comes back to this query of...
There's a subtlety here.
Yeah.
Timeouts is the evil. But responding and saying, no, I don't actually support eDNS, so please talk to me without it.
Yes.
That is not a problem other than that you're not future-proof for new functionality and new features.
Ah, okay. So if I make a query to a legacy DNS server and it responds and says I'm not eDNS, that is, it's modern enough and fancy enough to say I'm not eDNS, the DNS resolvers or the caching DNS servers will then know to use legacy DNS lookups, won't do eDNS. It's the problem here is servers that are so old that they don't even respond and say, I don't do eDNS.
Yes.
Ah, okay. So very subtle indeed.
That's a
very specific issue, right? Because
it's
you could
a
have
very specific issue of timeouts and what you do when you receive a timeout and whether you assume that it is an intermittent network problem or a genuine inability to understand modern DNS protocols.
Yeah, the hardest part here is that a lot of us don't even have telemetry on this. There's no way for networking people to monitor DNS by and large to be able to say, is it a DNS problem or is it a network problem? And they'll probably get blamed. So it is a challenge.
It is a challenge, and it will probably continue to be a challenge because there are other eDNS compliance problems out there as well and other just general DNS implementation and general DNS throughput through firewalls, through routers that do packet fragmentation, a whole wealth of potential problems in the infrastructure to do with DNS transit. And DNS is incredibly accommodating.
Yeah. I mean, it has to be to a large extent because the internet depends on that name resolution. But at the same time, we need things like DNSSEC or DNS over TLS or DNS over TCP, all of these different protocols that offer us new capabilities. But if you've got all these legacy servers that are just so old, I think this is a good thing overall.
It is a good thing overall because it will enable the resolvers to be coded more simplistically. Well, a little bit more simplistically. DNS isn't. DNS is simple, but isn't simple if you look at it. It's developed a lot of complexity and a lot of features over the years, but it will be possible to take out some of the code that is slowing everything down by having to retry and having to accommodate timeouts that are for bad reasons rather than for good reasons that should be accommodated.
I think it's very interesting that this idea of timeouts, you know, you make a DNS request and if the DNS server doesn't want to respond, you wait for a timeout and then you keep trying and keep trying. And that can be quite frustrating because, as you say, if only some DNS servers are having that problem, it gets very difficult to troubleshoot that.
And it's not good for the client that's made the query, and it's not good for the resolver that's having to sit there holding in its hands a client waiting for an answer while it goes off and retries either.
No, but that's the reality. Yeah, the reality is we also need clients to get faster. People expect, as the networks get faster and networks get more reliable, people have an expectation of speed. That is, the page should load in less than 1 second.
So ISPs are clued up to this.
Yeah.
They are looking at the response time to the client on the DNS as well as the response time to the client on the service that they're trying to get beyond that.
Mm. Well, I don't think it's very complicated. Like, it's very detailed, but it's a very specific issue. That is, DNS servers that are so old that they don't respond to a DNS request and say, when I don't respond with an eDNS, I don't do it reply, that's the issue.
That is the issue, yes. Right.
It's a very small number of them, but because of the nature of DNS, it could be very hard to actually identify where the problem is, and it might appear as transient network issues or network delays or network performance, and that's why I wanted to bring it to the attention of the Packet Pushers audience.
Thank you. Yes, that's really helpful.
So before you go, I don't often get to talk to people from the Internet Systems Consortium that you do. So what's the role of the Internet Systems Consortium in the DNS?
We were the authors of the original DNS server that implemented the original RFCs. It was a proof of concept implementation. Now, that was a long time ago, and we have moved on since then. We are still the authors and maintainers of Bind. Mm-hmm. We're now on Bind 9. But we're not the only game in town. There are a lot of other people who have got open source DNS implementations. Mm-hmm. So we are in a field of new protocol development. Our engineers are active participants in the IETF and other organizations looking at what the future is, along with engineers from other organizations. So we're still the authors and maintainers of Bind. Mm-hmm. We're also the maintainers of DHCP, which is another fairly ubiquitous protocol. And over recent years, we've decided that the time is right to try and rewrite that because it's a very, very old piece of code. So we also have Kia DHCP, which is our brand new DHCP implementation.
Yeah.
Again, for which we are the authors and maintainers. But our mission is basically to provide open source software for the internet infrastructure at that level.
Yes, based on that background of Bind. I love the idea that it was built as a proof of concept and it turned into a real thing when it actually worked out all those years ago. That's like 20 or 30 years ago now.
Just something like that, yes.
That's like epochs in internet time.
I'm genuinely amazed at how long the DNS protocol has survived and is still a linchpin for the operation of the internet.
That would be an interesting discussion one day. I know that we've seen a number of initiatives going on out there to move away from name to IP address mappings to name to content mappings, but maybe that's something that's way off in the future and that's a problem for another day. Where can people find out more about DNS Flag Day?
The starting point would be the dnsflagday.net website. They can also find information from our own website, isc.org. Have a look at our blogs. The DNS Flag Day site itself has a bunch of information and a bunch of links to vendors, including ourselves, for their statements and what they're doing and what their problems are. It has a testing tool. So if you want to test whether your names are compliant, then you can run them into the test tool there and have them checked. Yeah. The testing tool on the DNS Flag Day site is just a wrapper for the one that we've provided at eDNS Comp www.isc.org.
Okay.
It's for low volume testing. I should point that out. It's not a big, highly provisioned tool. It's just for a quick check.
It's not
check.
For domain name providers to suddenly start slamming the hell out of it. It's meant for people like me with a half a dozen domains or something like that. I actually found out that.
We are really limiting that.
Yeah. I found out that some of my domains are actually incompatible. And indeed, my DNS provider basically told me that they have no intention of fixing it and to bugger off. And if I didn't like it, to take my domains elsewhere. So.
That's a little sad. Sure. One thing I should point out, though, is that the Flag Day tool is testing not just for whether you will survive, whether your domain will survive Flag Day, but it's actually looking beyond that, and it's looking at the future features that eDNS gives you. So the
it's
report
part of
will
this poking the bear to get these people to do something instead of just sitting there and being fat and happy on old technology.
Yes, indeed.
That's the problem, is a lot of these people, a lot of these DNS companies and registrars are making out like fat cats on those products, you know, charging $15 for a domain name when they pay, what is it, $8 to ICANN. So they make $8 per year for a domain name for what? Running a handful of scripts? It really doesn't work for me, that whole issue of pricing and profitability. Those companies are making out like bandits. And I think that we should demand more from those companies, but that's just me.
I'm not going to get dragged into that where
right.
I'm sitting here. I'm interested in the protocol side of things. Where
yes.
people choose to put their DNS is up to them.
For sure.
We have given some advice on what to do if you find that your DNS is failing the tests and it's hosted by somebody else. And there are two sides to this. You may pass the test, you're going to survive DNS Flag Day, but there are some protocol compliance issues. Go talk to your provider, see what it is that they say. Be a little bit sympathetic. Some of them may not have realized quite what they needed to be doing in time. And so give them a moment to respond.
It's not an unexploded bomb. It's not
It's
not like all of a sudden on February the 1st, as we record this, the internet, all these things are broken. It's going to be this gradual degradation as different pieces of software update and no longer support the legacy modes. Some things are going to happen. You're going to have it in your head as you go forward, I think.
The DNS is not going to crash and burn on DNS Flag Day.
No.
It is DNS Flag Day today and I'm still operating and my DNS has not crashed and burned. What it's going to do is it's going to bite people gradually over the coming months, possibly even the coming years, by which time they will have forgotten that DNS Flag Day even happened.
Yeah.
If you look at the lead time on take-up of new software updates, it's the resolvers updating that are going to cause the problems, and it's quite possible that people will have forgotten when they upgrade their DNS resolvers that this might be a problem. So a heads up to people who are upgrading their DNS resolver software, if you do start to experience funny problems after upgrading, it might well be that the sites that you want to go to still haven't fixed their act.
Yeah, that's complicated because firewalls and application load balancers, their quality of that code is usually pretty poor.
my message to resolver operators would be, if you have funny problems being reported by your clients getting to sites, don't assume it's some odd network connectivity problem. Go and test the DNS. Find out if it's perhaps that site has a broken DNS implementation.
Because it could be that. Literally.
It could be that.
Yep.
The other interesting one is that, especially for ISPs, it may be that your client doesn't know that they're not using your DNS resolver.
Yes.
They might have keyed in at some time, a long time ago, for whatever reasons, to use something else. And that has been updated and is no longer tolerating the broken DNS.
Yes. And you also need to understand that your domain might be registered with Company A, but the root delegation might be with Company B. So in my case, my domains are registered with one company, but they're actually hosted with my CDN provider. So you need to understand the difference between those two. It's actually where your DNS is published onto the internet, not
where
it's registered.
Yes.
Yeah, where it's provisioned, yeah.
So but if it's hosted, you need to speak to basically the person to whom you're paying the money.
Yeah, well, where your DNS is hosted, where your DNS is actually delegated, not where your DNS is name is registered. So you might pay one company to register it to, but you might pay another company to actually put the DNS entry on the internet.
Yes, we've seen a slightly well-meaning but slightly misdirected effort by one country registrar who seemed to be putting out, I don't even know if it was the registrar, putting out some notices to owners of zones saying, you need to fix this, you need to fix this. Yeah. But they were talking to the owners of the domains rather than the people hosting them. And the poor people receiving the message didn't know what to make of it. Because they don't know DNS protocol. They have given their DNS zones to somebody else to host for them.
Yes.
On their behalf. It's not their problem that the hosters are not eDNS compliant. So the message to people whose zones fail and they're not hosting them themselves is go and talk to the person to whom you're paying the money to host this for you.
Yeah.
It's not something that you personally can fix. It's something that they have to fix.
Yeah. It's complicated not because the technology problem underneath this is complicated. It's complicated because there's so many stakeholders where DNS can be. So we're saying the problem can be with your DNS provider who's separate from your DNS registrar. It can be your firewall or your proxy or your intermediate middleware. And it might not even be your middleware box. It might be something your ISP is doing upstream too. Which is even
You may be hosting, there's another scenario. You may have chosen to host your DNS on a cloud provided service. So your DNS that you are managing has been upgraded, but what have they put in front of it?
Yes. And it can even be at ISP level. I've seen ISPs do DNS filtering. That's very unusual today. There's no reason for them to spend money doing that these days, but that's the sort of thing that can happen. Maybe in a colo, they might have a firewall upstream perhaps.
Maybe so.
Yeah, generally, it'd be a packet firewall, not an application firewall, though. So just keep those things in mind. Well, with that note, thanks very much, Kathy, for joining us on the Packet Pushers today. Again, if you want to find out more about this, head on over to dnsflagday.net. There's a whole bunch of information there, including the domain tester that we talked about, and that would be the best place to talk to him. As always, you can find show notes for this episode in your podcatcher, but you can also find them on our website at packetpushers.net. You can discover 1,000 other episodes from across our podcast network for networking and infrastructure professionals, along with news, blogs, and so forth. You can tweet us at packetpushers, follow us on LinkedIn, rate us on Apple Podcasts, and don't forget we're our membership site at ignition.packetpushers.net. And if you could, it would be so helpful if you could leave us a review saying how awesome we were on any of your favorite places. Tweet about us, tell your friends. That would be really important. And last but not least, remember that too much networking would never be enough.